Welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest edition of the Sevillistas Worldwide Podcast. It's where we talk about all things Sevilla FC. We're coming to you here on a Sunday night, November 5th, after the disappointing draw yesterday with Celta Vigo in Vigo. I'm Chris Lell, along with Eddie Cuyena in Toronto, Canada. Yep. How are you, Eddie? What's new, buddy?
Not too much. Just trying to figure out how this new coach wants to play. I'm not seeing too much that's new, but we'll get into it. Run through these results that of these past few weeks.
There you go. Steve's off over in Greece, I believe, taking a little family vacay. Him and his wife. Hope he's having a good time. I saw some photos, so it looks like they're traveling all over the place. So. We'll get him back soon and get some thoughts of see how his trip went. But in this episode, we're going to talk about the latest results under the new head man, Diego Alonso. We're also going to get Eddie's thoughts on Alonso's tactics and playing style and see if there's been any improvement over Mendilibar's Sevilla. So let's get right into it. We'll walk through the results real quick. First matchup for Alonso was no other than Real Madrid. We played at Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan, and we drew. It was 1-1. We got an own goal by Alaba, but I mean that was a good opportunity from Enesri there too. So I mean it was technically an own goal, but I mean it was could have been a goal from Enesri. But anyway, and then Carvajal tied it up on a Toni Kroos free kick. We'll talk about that too, because our set piece defending is really, really poor this year, and especially when you've got a guy that's the shortest on the field beating your striker and your supposedly best defending fullback, and a keeper that maybe should have had that one. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Then we went and played Arsenal. That was at home too, right at the RSP and the. Yep. Third match of Champions League group stage, playing pretty well in that, and then just Gabriel Martinelli split the defenders right before halftime, put them up 1-0. Jesus 8 minutes into the second half gets the second. We pull one back. Gudeli gets a header off of a Rakitic corner in the 58th, and just couldn't find that tying goal, so end up losing another one to Arsenal and puts us in a pretty tough spot in the group stage of Champions League. We go to Arsenal this Wednesday to play the return leg, and getting some points out of that is pretty important to progress out of this group. So we'll see what happens. Then Sevilla came back and went just down to the west of Spain there on the coast and played Cadiz in an Andalusian derby. They got down early 2-0 and fought back and got a 2-2 draw. It was just really poor play early on. Chris Ramos scored 8th minute in for them. Darwin Matisse scored the 28th. In the 28th, after a horrible giveaway by Ramos. I don't know who he was passing to, but it was really, really bad, and they just scored off of that. Campos gets one back in the 37th, and then Rakitic tied it in the 60th off a Campos throw-in, and that goal was really, really pretty. Just kind of floated it in the top left corner there. It's just a really gorgeous goal. Sevilla gets the first win under Diego Alonso. In the Copa del Rey game against Quintanar, 0-3 goals by Rafa Mir, Yen, and Pedrosa. I think that is the first for Pedrosa with the club, and that came in extra time.
I
think that was the first one because that one against PSV got ruled out, right?
He scored in preseason, right? I think that's why. I vaguely remember him scoring.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
That's his first
goal. I blocked all the... Well, that's what I thought. Is it? Then I heard him say it. Maybe. I don't know. And then yesterday, of course, we played Celta. That was on November 4th. And got up what I considered a disappointing 1-1 draw. And I think it was more just how we played in that match that was so disappointing to me. Yeah. Maybe got lucky there at the end. Referee calls a penalty late on Navas that I didn't think it was a penalty. Rafa Benitez and Salta sure thought it was a penalty, but they've got some stuff going on there recently with refereeing decisions that's caused them to kind of question everything that any ref ever does. So I don't know. We escaped. I mean, Nealon actually saved us there a couple times on some really good saves to keep us in that match, because it could have been a lot worse. Shots was on that game was 15-13 with Celta, 5 on target from Sevilla, though. So after all that, Diego Alonso's first, 5 matches as manager for Sevilla. 11 matches total for Sevilla in the league this year. Only winning 2 of those games, getting 5 draws. They're currently sitting in 15th place, only 4 points out of 18th, and 9 points behind Betis in 6th place for any European opportunities there. What do you think, Eddie? I mean, is there any optimism here? Should we feel better with the new manager? Any improvements have you seen? Any kind of tactical gameplay that's given us some hopes to think that we can pull the season around?
I'm not seeing too much that's different in terms of our usual schemes, because it's always look for Navas and cross, right? I mean, thankfully we have Pedrosa that's stepping up. Acuna is looking like the Acuna of the beginning of last season. So hopefully maybe he'll warm up post-January. There's no World Cup this time to, you know, boost him up, but I think one of the only positives is that we haven't lost yet in the league. The only loss we suffered was in the Champions League, unfortunately, against Arsenal. That put us in a tough spot. But in the league, we haven't lost, but it's we need the points. Like, I mean, we're down there. We're in 15th, you said?
15th.
Yeah, it's not looking good at all. And the draw against Celta, who was... was in the relegation zone, right? I mean, they didn't play too bad. It felt like they were really up for it, but there were opportunities there for us to, you know, put our foot down and, you know, assert some dominance. But there wasn't a performance there. And luckily, they went down to 10 men that we were able to pull one back, but we didn't get the 3 points. They were actually even playing well with 1 man down and getting opportunities. I mean, they were dangerous all game. Whenever they had the ball around our box, they were making some nice runs, carving us open. It was like, man, we can't play like that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what do they have that we don't? It's crazy. And I mean, I commented on Ocampos being, you know, selfish sometimes. I mean, attackers will do that, right? But it's a running theme that it's no matter who the center forward is, sometimes that pass won't go to the forward. They'll try to take it upon himself. Like when the opportunity is there, maybe the forward is in a better position, you know, to score there. He'll just take it upon himself and you know, screw up the chance. It's like, and I see that a lot, but lately, these last few games since Alonso's been taking over, it's been Ocampos. So I can't really blame him. Even out there playing on the left, where it's not really his preferred position anymore, he's been playing well in those Madrid and Arsenal game. He was playing well, you know, the back heels he will do, you know, that actually like come off and create opportunities.
Even in the Arsenal match, the no look through ball. No, the no-look through ball to Enesri, where Enesri gets in and pulls it wide, right? Like, I saw the replay of that, and, I mean, it was the classic Ocampos, like, no-look pass that he does sometimes.
Feeling himself.
like a penalty. But, yeah, I thought he struggled a little bit yesterday. He wasn't at his best yesterday, and that's probably because, I mean, the guy's played, I think, except for the Copa match, I think he's played 90 minutes every match almost, if not 90 minutes every match under Alonso. So
There's nothing happening on the other side either to try to compliment him. So it's gonna wear us thin. We have to face it. I don't think we're ever gonna get that Ocampos from the first season. It's a different Ocampos for sure, but still crucial. Kind of like Vitolo. Why was Vitolo so good when he didn't score that much, but he would create opportunities, not even getting that many assists either, but he would open the play up so many times. And he would just be a crucial player. That's who I think Ocampos is right now, and he's threatening in so many ways that he always has to start, and he tracks back, and he hustles, and he presses, all that stuff. And his physique is great. So, the long balls from the goalkeeper, he'll look to get those headers on, and whatnot. You know, good in a battle against the opposing fullback. So I think Ocampos is number one right now. I have no clue what happened to Luke Bacchio.
I was just about to ask you that.
I have no idea.
International break. He scores 2 goals in one match for Belgium, and then comes back and looks like a totally different player under the new manager. I was going to ask you, what do you think's going on there? What's happened?
It's just not coming off. You could see that he's trying, but these passes are crazy. It's like
yesterday, especially.
No offense, but I'm sorry, it's going to sound crazy, but Jordan level passes.
I was going to say that. I was thinking the same thing.
It's like, man, I know what he's trying to do. He's like, he's trying to play off someone else, but it's just going straight to the opposition, going wayward. Like, some of his shots are going sky high, like way off, even playing on his preferred right wing. And it's like he lost his mojo. Put him back on the left yesterday, coming off the bench, still not really seeing much.
Yeah, and granted, that pitch was in horrible condition yesterday.
It was.
Still, no excuse. Both teams had to play on it, so...
Yeah.
And they looked much better at passing the ball than we did, I thought. So, it's kind of weird. Some other things that we've seen under the new manager, Suamare is basically getting a ton of action. And what do you think about his play so far?
Tremendous. He's tremendous. I think when we think of Fernando replacement, he's doing that and more. I never knew he was so good on his feet with the ball at his feet. He might start playmaking, who knows? But he's solid, man. It's unfortunate that the defense is so sorry that some of it is going to waste, because if the defense was solid, then it would be easier for us to implement our game style, and we have some good midfielders there. Rakitic is still a competent midfielder. He could create. It's not enough. It's not enough in terms of creativity. It's not enough. It has to come from somewhere else. And it's the left wing again. It's the left wing, and having too many players that are similar. I'd still like to see LaMelo more. I'm not sure why he's not featuring too much, because he's been, whenever we needed something, he would be stepping up as well. So I'm not sure why he's not getting that many games. He was playing in the Copa game, but I'm not sure why he's not getting minutes in league and Champions League.
Oliver Torres getting left wing minutes over, a LaMelo or I understand maybe not Luca Bacchio at this point, but why Torres in that role that he played yesterday instead of LaMelo? I didn't understand that, and then LaMelo didn't even get on the pitch yesterday when we needed more firepower.
Unless we're saving it for the Arsenal game. I'm pretty sure even the Nesri snub I had people, you know, questioning Alonso's decisions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, your top scorer doesn't come on until the 74th minute, I believe, yesterday when you're down a goal. And
but it's only Celta. Clearly.
Well, yeah, but you're what, 4 points? Yeah, 4 points ahead of Celta is all you are. Like, at that point, well, the same because we shared points. But, I mean, you're in that fight with them, so it's a critical game. And I don't know. You see teams all the time, like Aspas, right? Like Iago, starting almost every match at 30-whatever years old he is. Benzema for Real Madrid last year, you know, when healthy, starting every match. Like, your star players are there. Rakitic is starting every match. Like, why can't your star striker that's constantly making an impact when he comes on, i.e. look at yesterday, look at what was the other match that he scored late on? I can't remember. He subbed on and basically saved us in that match too. But maybe it was Cadiz. I don't remember. Anyway, still, right? Like, play your best players, and that's what I kind of struggle with this yesterday with that lineup choice. Speaking of that, you brought up Pedrosa being our first choice, or should be our first choice left back, but not under the new manager. It's been Acuna. I don't know if that's the South American love that he might have for him, or a World Cup winner. Like, how do you start somebody over him? Like, but it seems a little obvious that Pedrosa provides more firepower and pace for this team than what Acuna can right now. So definitely some questionable decisions, I think, under the new manager. And let's be fair, he's only been here, what, 3 weeks now, I think?
Yeah.
Still learning his players, still getting comfortable with people, not having some of these folks in for that first week that he was in camp, right? Well, really, well, almost 2 weeks, right? Like, he was missing some of these guys, Acuna, Luca Bacchio, even Enesri. So,
yeah.
I think there's still some time there to adjust and get better. I think for me, looking at the Real Madrid match and the Arsenal match, there was a lot of hope just because how we came out of the gates playing really strong, really well, attacking, creating chances, creating different looks of chances too, not just playing down the wings and pumping it in. Example, the one I brought up earlier with the through ball to Enesri.
Yeah.
Didn't score on that, but it was a chance that we don't see quite often. It felt like we regressed under the Cadiz match, and then the Celta match was just horrible. I hated watching that match. I was just feeling really disappointed at the end of that, just the lack of firepower or heart or try from this club. And I've never been that way. Like, I've always thought that the club really fought hard, and I just didn't get that yesterday. I don't know what that was. And with Enesri not really celebrating his goal, like, there's what is that? Like, is that something in the locker room? Is that, you know, the worry of the world that's going on right now? And you know, what's causing, why didn't he celebrate? I mean, that's a question I'd like to learn a little bit more. Or was it just, hey, we got to get back to playing a game and try to win? He didn't go after the ball, so yeah. I don't know if that's it or not either. But
it was very strange.
It was just strange, yeah. And I don't know. He's never been one that's super flamboyant on a goal score, but he always does his eyes and his pointing to God and stuff. So I don't know. I'm hoping that there's nothing in the locker room. That could be just a cancer that takes us into the second division really quickly, if that's the case, or another year of a third manager, which I don't think anybody wants. So it's tough. So I don't know about you, but some of those, you know, games that we've lost, I mean, we've talked about it last episode on Ramos and his play, and here it was again. We saw this week with some bad passing by Ramos, costing us goal. Do you think he should be the number one, or in the first two group when he's healthy, or do you think he should be Bade and Kudeli or somebody else? I mean, we know Marcao, but come on, that's a fantasy at this point.
Unfortunately, I did not see the Copa match. I'm an advocate for Nianzou, but just watching the highlights and I seen two mistakes from him, I'm like, wow, this is not it. And this, what division is that team in? Fourth, fifth?
Fifth. I think it was a fifth division team.
It's like, man, if his confidence is not up against a team
he
at
did
that
have
level.
Moments. He did have some moments, some really nice moments of anticipating passes, intercepting, bringing the ball forward. But yeah, he did have some,
that's,
some really bad mistakes. Not comical like Jordan mistakes. You brought that up earlier, and I don't know how you didn't see the match. I guess it's just obvious. You just know that Jordan's going to make some crazy, weird decision passing. And it was almost comical at times with him in this match. It was just...
I seen one play. I seen one
the
play.
Meme.
That Brian on the board linked is like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was by far the worst moment, but there were others. Just head scratching. Unbelievable.
Wow. So, I mean, that was the back line I was hoping to see under this manager more regularly. Juan Lu and Pedrosa on the flanks, and Baden Nianzou as a center back pairing. But I mean, we kept a clean sheet, right? But I believe it should be Baden and Ramos for now, because maybe Gattoni is still too young and still having to adapt to La Liga. Maybe, who knows? Because we only seen him for those few minutes. I don't think that's worthy of him being benched this whole time, but we have Gudel as well, right? So it's going to be hard for Gattoni to get minutes. There was even a quote that Alonso was thinking of finding another position for him, maybe right back for Gattoni, because there's just not going to be minutes at center back for him. So who knows? Maybe he goes on loan in January, but that center back position belongs to Marcao, but this man, who knows if he's ever gonna be fit? So it might as well forget about that for the near future. So it should be Ramos, but I guess for now we have to ride with Bade and Gudel. I mean, having Sumare there is really helpful. It's crucial, actually. Not to say Fernando is washed now, but we avoid so many unnecessary scenarios with Sumare there in terms of recycling the ball and getting the ball out of the first defensive third. He does so much to progress our play. It's just that when it comes to creating, you know, goal scoring opportunities, we're still lacking there.
Do you think about? Do you think this club? Is there an opportunity to run a double pivot with Fernando and Sumare?
I think they take away from each other.
Similar.
When Mandelibar was playing Sumare off the bench, you could tell that having Fernando there was kind of a hindrance to him, because it's taken away from his game. So him having to perform in a different role is not going to work. It depends on what's happening in front of them, but I just don't feel like, even if it's late in the game, maybe just to shore up
a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't think that works really.
Okay.
It's kind of like whenever we play 4-4-2, our forwards don't combine at all.
Yeah.
And
ideally, we would want So to be playing that kind of, not double pivot, but more of that kind of link up, where Sumare could stay back and not have to bring the ball up as much, probably, right? And
yeah,
he just hasn't found that groove yet, if you will.
And Rakitic is probably doing a better job than him at that, so you're obviously seeing Sol getting subbed out.
And you're getting, with Rakitic, you're getting, you know, set piece and you know, corners and free kick deliveries.
Still and the leading odd rocket. And Rakitic is just always getting that, at least that one chance. Pedrosa, you know, I mean, laced him with a really nice pass there.
Against Celta. How about that game against the Real Madrid match where Rakitic found himself in the box, and it was the oddest like shot I've ever seen in my life, where Rakitic had it at his feet for hours and then ends up hitting it right to where Carvajal is there to clear it off the line.
Yeah, even Sol hit one, went wide. It's like, man, if you have those chances against big teams, you have to take them.
And that's what had me hoping that, you know, under the new manager, it's a different Sevilla and just with the confidence, but just regress back. I'm hoping that we can refine that maybe against Arsenal and get a surprise result there.
Nunca se rinde, as the saying goes. Will we step up in a big game like this away to Arsenal? Who knows? Were their heads, you know, I mean, not in it against Celta because of that? I mean, we have to see. Just don't get destroyed, man. Because I mean, our defense, like, it was worrying how Gabriel Jesus just split open that defense like that, and just the image of seeing Ramos trying to catch Martinelli. I'm like, this is like the age difference right there. Like, how young Martinelli is over a 38-year-old Ramos. That's not good, man.
To see a Nealon 1-on-1 was scary.
That was
it's
tragic.
Scary enough to see him like
that was tragic.
Normally,
but I'm team Nealon. I don't think y'all are Debbie Downers over this Nealon thing. I don't think he's that bad, man.
He has moments, but I haven't seen him make like
what was that kind of moment? I mean, he did drop the ball yesterday, but he got fouled. He got fouled.
He had a double save against, I forgot who that was against. Maybe that was.
It was against Celta.
Yeah, it might have been. It was like a double save. Arsenal's lost two games in a row. They lost 3-1 to West Ham in the UFL Cup, and then 1-0 against Newcastle yesterday. So, coming off back-to-back losses, they did destroy Sheffield United the match after they played us 5-0. So who knows what Arsenal team we've got tomorrow. I don't know. I haven't looked at injuries or anything like that to see who they might have out. But
for me, that's just them trying to balance Champions League because they weren't in Europe last year. They were in the Europa League, actually.
Yeah.
But balancing Champions League and... I mean, it's a second season for them trying to win the title, right? So, I guess it's kind of normal for them to, you know, see these kinds of results. Not that they expected them, but we'll see. I mean, Celta was a team we were supposed to beat, right? I don't care what their record was, and they still did that to us, right? We didn't lose. We didn't lose, but the performance was dreadful. So, Arsenal knows what they did, that they're able to do more against us last time at the Pichuan. So for them playing at home, I'm sure they'll feel confident. So we just have to step
back
up.
Line.
We just have to step up.
Yeah, you got to do something. You keep everything in front of you. Quit splitting defenders and quit marking terribly on set pieces. If we can figure that out somehow, we might have a chance.
Like the City game in the Super Cup, like we had Jordan playing that game and defending, defending with his life. I mean, we just need to see players step up like that.
We need heart. We need heart, and it's I don't know. This season it seems like we hadn't had too much of that, and that's a shame. But hopefully we'll get it back. I hope to see Luca Bacchio get back to form because he was such an exciting player to watch there in the first part of the season and something we've been begging for forever. Somebody on the left wing that could really make a difference, or on the right wing. Who cares? We'll put Acampos back on the left. Doesn't matter. Wherever you feel comfortable, we'll figure it out. But, you know, we talked about the Arsenal match. We also have another big match coming up on Sunday this week, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. I think it's 6:30 p.m. Sevilla time, but we're kind of in that weird daylight savings time thing we just hit here on the east coast of the United States. So I don't know what time it is local. Check your listings just to make sure. But the El Gran Derby back again, 2023 edition. This one is at home.
At home.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a Pichuan. It's going to be a big match. A lot to look forward to this week. Mm-hmm. Betis seems to be playing a little better recently, but there's still some up and downs. They got some decent young players, but you know how the Derby always is.
And Isco's not injured, right?
Isco is not injured. He played yesterday.
Ooh. It's going to be like some... I spoke about Vitolo earlier. There's going to be some Vitolo-level booing when Isco's there. Wow.
We were hoping to do that in San Francisco in Mexico we were hoping to do it, but he didn't play in that match.
Didn't play, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we did, where we were able to do it a little bit in San Francisco when we were watching the Real Sociedad Betis match before. Yeah, you're right. That's going to be some Vitolo level booing, right? That's going to be awesome.
Ooh. Awesome, yes. Still no Ramos. He's out for, is it 2 months?
Was it that bad? I don't think it was that long.
It was a couple weeks, I think.
Okay. More than likely missing both of these matches, unless they try to rush him back. But don't want to have that. He almost had his first goal for Sevilla against...
that was Cadiz, right? Yeah.
Cadiz, yeah, where it was ruled offside.
Offside, yeah. Ocampos was, in front of the keeper, blocking his vision, I guess. One of those calls. Yeah. I mean, you see it. You see it happen.
Those are tough. It would have been a nice first goal coming off of a rebound volley attempt. It was kind of cool. Nice strike. What did you think about the penalty yesterday at the end of the match? Navas and...
I also had the Deportes feed, and they kept saying that it's a penalty. Like, why are you wasting time here? And I was agreeing with them. I'm like, Navas is clearly pulling him, but it was zooming in, and it kept repeating it. It's like, oh, he's actually pulling his shirt. So I'm like, okay,
yeah,
that makes sense now.
And then you see the guy just fall down, like, without really any contact. Like, it was a total, like, dive.
Because Navas be fouling these players a lot of times, so I'm glad we haven't been penalized for those. But I guess good on the VAR for checking that, because I thought it was a penalty. He was holding him, and cameras, you're caught in 4K there. So if you're holding and the referee stops the play, I mean, the cameras are just going to make that worse. So.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't in real time, but then the replays kind of showed that VAR did its job, I thought. Yeah. Rafa and Celta doesn't think about that right now, but
furious.
Yeah, hey. Yeah. You see his like look at the end of the match, he's staring down the ref as he's walking off. What good is that going to do you, guy? Congratulations to Sevilla Atletico. They won a big match today. 5-0 in a little derby there in whatever division they are, fourth division, I think, whatever it is, against Cadiz, whatever Cadiz's B team is called.
Yeah, I forgot their name. Well, yeah, Cadiz B.
Cadiz B. That's their third win in a row, third clean sheet in a row. Alberto Flores, I think his name is, the keeper down there, is doing some work. They set 1 point on the table in second place behind Marbella. And since it's Derby week, Betis' B team there is sitting in ninth place, a full 9 points behind Sevilla Atletico. So. Wow. Good on them. Getting goals from all kind of people and getting some playing time from, do you remember the kid? Several years back now, he's like 12 years old, Ibra, where he was like a foot taller than the Valencia kid. maybe 2 feet taller than a Valencia kid.
Yeah.
And the photo shows, like, him stomping on the Valencia kid's foot. Like,
it's like, what's the age limit here?
Yeah. Can we check his birth certificate? Anyway, people have caught up to him now, but he is, I think he's still only, like, 16 years old, and he's getting playing time with Sevilla Atletico. So, yeah. One to watch. He did start, I think, today over Musa, who's also been playing really well. And then also, I think it was, got a brace. I don't pull up my notes on that one, but Isaac Romero got another goal today. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot who got the fifth goal, but they're looking pretty good recently. Looks like they might get promoted this year if they keep it up. So maybe we get to see some of these youngsters, in some of the Copa matches. That would be lovely to see a couple of them, but I don't know. No reason. I'd much rather see Manu Bueno over Jordan in that role. Let's just say.
I mean, I'm not sure how well he did in the Copa match, but Manu Bueno did look good in some of the games at the end of last season. It's just in preseason, you kind of see that, okay, he might need some time. Similar to Pedro Ortiz. But, I think if anything, they could look at the progress that Juan Lu is doing. So, Juan Lu, that position is his for me. I mean, Navas is doing what he can. And still the one that they look for, right? But I feel like Juan Lu gives you different angles of attack sometimes as well when he goes on his left and really attacks that byline too. So some sprints inside, Navas can't make no more, right? So
yeah, cuts inside. I was actually really disappointed that Alonso didn't bring him on. We had a fifth sub. And to not bring him on there at the end of that match, I thought was a little, and it almost cost us, right? I mean, Navas giving away the penalty, or could have been giving away a penalty, and maybe fresh legs would have changed that scenario. But Juan Lu was tied with Rakitic with the on assist in La Liga, so as our leading assist leader, so providing and doing work, being threatening, so. I don't know. I think it's his job. I hate to say it, but I mean, Navas is probably last hurrah there, and I think it's time that we make a change now, quicker than later, I think, on that one.
Yeah, I thought it would have to be gradual, but I feel like the time is now. We'll see what how Alonso lines up against Arsenal. Because I feel like it should be Juan Lu and Pedrosa. But maybe he's worried about the defensive side of it. Although Juan Lu does hold his own defensively. If anything, he worries more about the defensive side sometimes than attacking. Whenever it's a tough assignment like that. So I would still trust him against Arsenal. Pedrosa, on the other hand, I worry a little bit. But I mean, going forward, he's such a threat that it's like you might as well play him. So we'll see how Alonso lines up. And one last thing on Alonso, I don't remember the last time we seen a manager wear a suit for us.
Hey,
so I like the look of it.
I like it too. I was gonna, I like the classiness, right? Hey. Like, who was the last one?
Probably Emery, right? He just had the patches on his jackets.
The elbow patches. I forgot about those. They were classy, though. At least they were red. Match the team colors.
Right.
But he would still wear a tracksuit on the road. Emery.
I think there was also Pablo Machin, I think. Pablo Machin would wear a suit, but he didn't last that long. I mean, last season, we'll say.
Jeez. Just looking at the minute leaders for this team, and Rakitic at 35 years old has 1,162 minutes already on his legs this season, followed by Ocampos, 1160, Guidelli 1157, and Esri 1037. Nealon already up to 900, Bade 881, followed by 37-year-old Jesus Navas at 877. Something to look at as we go throughout the season, just to see how many minutes are on those legs. I don't know, man. I'd like to see more Wanlu. I want to see more Suso. I think Suso's been playing decent here lately. Looked pretty good yesterday when he came on.
He gives us something different. It's just he has to be consistent, right? Because if he's not going to open the play up or, you know, always look for a shot first, you know what I mean? And then his play just goes downhill from there. It's like, come on, we need you here.
Yeah. He's always going to have that one shot that goes like 500 feet in the stands.
it's like Rafa Mir, right? Like whenever he gets the ball, no matter what the situation is, he's going to look for goal.
Yeah.
From the tightest angle. Like
Suso tries. He'll try to get like people involved a little bit and trying to do some one-on-ones and one touch pass. I think that's something that, you know, I was talking to Kristen yesterday as we were watching the game, and I was like, it just seems like everything's so slow, and we don't do any, like, you know, one-touch passing. It's just we have to take a touch, settle it down, and then cross it or something. Like, there's no, like, fluidity to our game, which we did see a little bit in Real Madrid and then the Arsenal match. There was some good intricate passing there, and just, I don't know. I'm hoping we can figure that back out, because that was lovely to watch and made football interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This to the wings and crossing and hoping that Mariano is going to figure out how to use his head. Is it going to work? Not going to work.
The hair looks too nice. You know what I mean? He's like, I can't. I'm not going to damage that.
I mean, that's pretty nice. I like it. I wish I could do that.
But, hey, we have to, hopefully we bring it up to the level that we did against Real Madrid and Arsenal, going up against Arsenal again, because like you said, it regressed. Having, like, playing Cadiz and then Celta, and it's we're still without a win. After all these games, come on. The writing might be on the wall. I mean, the schedule doesn't look too bad. I mean, we're not facing that many elite teams heading towards the end of December, but it's still going to be tough games. I mean, we have Sociedad in there, Villarreal. I mean, Atletico at the end of the month, plus the Champions League games. Thankfully, we have an international break to kind of, you know, regroup after the derby next week. But it's not going to get any easier, right? We had Cadiz and Celta to really get those points in, but now backs might be up against the wall. So, I mean, hopefully, maybe that's what's going to help them.
Yeah, you got Betis, Sociedad, go back to PSV in the Champions League, Villarreal, Mallorca, Linz, Getafe, Granada, Atletico, just round out the year. I mean, that's there's some winnable games there, but, man, coming up against Sociedad and Betis in decent form is going to be tough.
Some good tests.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Let's start on Wednesday with their first Champions League win.
All right.
We kind of need that, right? We haven't won in the Champions League, and I don't remember when the last time was. It's been a long time. But anyway, it's been fun. Kind of like old times, just me and you on the cast here. So I've had a good one here. Everybody, thanks for listening as always. We appreciate you guys tuning in and giving us a little bit of your time. If you're enjoying our content, let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can drop a comment on YouTube. Come over to the Monty's Win forums. Let us know what you think. Definitely, if you could, you know, like, subscribe, and then share. I mean, that would be awesome, just to kind of spread it a little bit, get more people listening, watching. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know. Shoot us a message. Hit us up on Twitter. Mine is at Chris Lell. It's the easiest one. Or come over to the forums and just let us know. Drop us a message anywhere. But yeah, thanks again. Until next time, vamos mis amigos.
Vamos campeón.
See you soon, Steve.
Two, three.